And we are on Fed Bites. What Hello. Are we up to? What up, Leo?
What's up? What's up? What's up, yo, Ab? All good?
All good. What are we up to? Is it like episode 19? Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
Well, yeah, we're getting there.
Especially that we have a really, really great person
what is
that really love today mm-hmm. with us.
Who is that?
Hey, guys.
Oh, hello. Up.
What's your name? Like my daughter is like, what's your name? You know my name. My name is Leo. No, what's your name? Okay.
I'm kind of like your daughter, just in professional terms.
So, yes, we are joined today by Ariel Schulman, who is Leo's colleague, just so we kind of set the space.
We've been colleague twice.
Yes, like first in Sisense, and then for a short period of time, and then Illumix. I actually recommend her in Illumix. It was super easy. Yeah, she got the job in a second.
Cool. So
I've been waiting for you ever since. And then Leo finally joined us.
Yep.
Awesome. Really cool. So, Ariel, how about you tell us a little bit who you are and what you do? Let's start with that.
So, yes, I'm working with Leo in Illumix as a full-stack engineer. I was a full-stack engineer at Sisense beforehand. And originally, I come from a very dark and nasty world of hardcore development of very ancient systems like PL1, COBOL. So that's my background. And in the last almost 4 years, I've been in the web industry and loving every second of it. So I give lectures in meetups and conferences, and I am a big advocate of TypeScript.
You would so even say it's true that you have
I've been having mixed feelings, and we're going to see this unravel in this episode.
All right. This is the right place for it. Leo, you were about to ask something. I'm sorry I cut you off.
Yeah, I wanted to ask if it's true that she have like a really cute nickname. What is that?
You'll say it live, Leo, not me.
Okay. So her nickname is TypeScript Nazi.
No types for you.
Yeah, no types or yes types for you. Only types. So
okay. How did you get that nickname?
What happens to people that use any in my team?
Oh, do tell.
That's confidential.
Yeah.
Oh. So how did you become this TypeScript advocate, or I'm not going to use that word again.
Got it. I'm here to help.
Maybe we could call it, just call it the Tazi.
Yeah, or Maxi. Or Maxi. Actually, it's a Maxi.
Hey,
yeah.
Guys, let's talk about code, okay? So I've used TypeScript in a wide range of scenarios, whether it's reusable UI libraries in a big scale or a big scale application to mid-size applications, back-end, front-end. And why do they call me a Tazi? Because I think that with TypeScript, you either do it or you don't. Like the problem with it's like with mocks, you know, when you only mock half of it and then you have like this false sense of security. So that's why with TypeScript, you can get the same effect that if you use TypeScript, but you don't use it well, or you use it like partly, so you could have the same effect of a full sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
Joke aside, I think that it's like pretty, you know, it's like in the world of front-end development, people were used to use JavaScript, which is, you know, it's like a jungle in there. we got used to do whatever we want. And then when TypeScript came, we started to think that it's stopping our velocity. And that's why, you know, the bad reputation, I guess. But you know,
I think it's a trade-off of velocity for safety, kind of.
Completely. But yeah, but we really want to talk about this like further soon.
I'm really interested. First of all, did you like get to know TypeScript and immediately fall in love with it and became like infatuated with TypeScript, or what was it, a process? Because you know, a lot of people have different kind of processes with how they kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Process the way they work with TypeScript.
I think it's also really dependent on the background that you come from. Like if you come from world of like dynamic typings and people that come from Java or Rust, so they would see TypeScript as kind of like a lie or patches, which is not completely like they have a point, because TypeScript is not, it doesn't really give you type safety in the runtime. So there is a point to that. And also, I think that there is another problem that TypeScript in the recent versions, especially, has kind of become overcomplicated. And it is very easy to abuse TypeScript. And instead of using TypeScript in your advantages, that is documenting your code and helping you understand the context of your code, in a lot of code bases, you see that reading types is actually reading more code. Like the types don't help you understand your own code. So when you reach that point, I think it's really understandable why people would have these feelings that they do.
But I was looking for your experience. Like, how did you? You started out with JavaScript, I'm guessing, and not straight away with TypeScript. Or am I wrong?
Not really. I was working in a really specific project in Sisense where, yes, I started off with JavaScript, but I was working as a freelancer. So it's really hard to like compare a big scale to independent projects. But working in a large scale where I think TypeScript's advantages really shine, we were working into integrating React components into a massive Angular JS SPA. Mm. That was, of course, not typed at all. And it was during those transitions, it was really clear the advantages that TypeScript was giving us, because it was forcing us into, well, of investigating the system, trying to define the interfaces, which are the system itself. And the more work, and yes, it wasn't very fast. Like you can't say it's a trade-off for velocity. But by the end, like every time that we covered another part of the system, we would also realize that we learned a lot about our system. And it was stuff that we just, not only we didn't know as developers, like nobody knew, because it wasn't written anywhere. So it really forces you, like it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off. You work harder, but you get more safety, more knowledge, more context.
And autocomplete. With the best part.
But what do you think about this?
That's after you work hard.
What do you think about the people that are really against it? It's like if they're going to start a new project, they will remove completely TypeScript, and they say that it's not really helpful.
Whoa. At all. You're jumping the gun a minute, Leo. What? We said we'd talk about all that. All that removing TypeScript stuff later on. Maybe we should start, like, take a step back. I know you gave a talk recently in one of the big conferences in Israel in NoTLV.
Right, Doug.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a great talk. But what was it about, maybe? And I know that Gil Tayar, who is I wouldn't say anti-TS, but he is for writing JS stock types and not TypeScript, was your speaker buddy. How was that like, and what was the talk about? Maybe you can give us like a little lowdown.
Okay, and it's a few questions together. So the talk it was basically trying to demystify what happens from the moment that you are writing your types in development time throughout to runtime when your types disappear. Like what happens in that space and getting under that hood. And eventually, when you understand how it works, you understand the problem, like where you are missing your safety in the runtime. And the end of the lecture was about Zod as one of the possible solutions. So using Zod and the cool like tricks you could use Zod for, and about Gil as a as the buddy. So I don't think you would recommend me to. You have to accept the fact that even if like there would be a change, for now there is so much TypeScript code in the world. So there are like you can think about what do I do when I start a new project. That's one thing. But there is existing code in the world, and we can't like argue that we don't need solutions for the runtime for all the existing TypeScript code in the world. So it is still relevant. And now about JS docs. And Gil is also like beyond JS docs. Gil is pro making JavaScript, like having type annotations in JavaScript. Like he's pro implementing JS docs into JavaScript, like to have, yeah, the
pushing the RFC, no?
Yes, exactly. It's called types as comments, and it basically means that JavaScript would have types, but they would turn to comments, kind of exactly like what happens with JS doc. So you could get your type safety, but you don't need the build steps. But maybe we need to like, the thing about when working with JS docs and expecting JS docs to like having type checkings with JS docs, you actually do work with TypeScript because you still have your TS config. You're still like coupled to TypeScript because TypeScript is doing those checkings for you, especially if you're working with Visual Studio and then it's Visual Code and then it's like embedded into your IDE in the first place, and compared to like thinking a WebStorm where you actually need to like integrate the Google Closure compiler in order for it to happen. So what, it's not like you're really like, maybe we need to separate the two things of like using TypeScript, using TSC and type checkings in general. Like we all understand that TypeScript with TSC isn't the only way to achieve type safety by now.
Right.
Yeah.
So I understand why, especially for libraries, and I don't know, I feel like we are going to start talking about like the big companies that drop TypeScript, because specifically Svelte is a good example that they replaced TypeScript with JS docs for library code, and for library code that makes a lot of sense.
Right. And it's worth saying that, first of all, right, the fact that they did it doesn't mean that as users of Svelte, you don't get the typings of the system. It is that just the way they write their library code is not using the compilation step, as you've mentioned, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Like if you're building an app, so you're going to have a build step anyways. But if you're building a library, so if you use TypeScript, you're adding a build step, which you don't need. And you are also complicating debugging because the code that you write when you're developing is not the code that actually writes, which adds a massive complexity for people that develop mass libraries and massive usage, such as Svelte. So I resonate with their pain. And if they still get type safety, so everybody, like I'm a big advocate of what works for you, I think.
Yeah, who's using Svelte? I wonder. Oh, really?
Seriously. Right? So, who is it? It's a lot of people. Like, we hear it. There's some people that I know of. Like, the biggest name that I know of that is like pushing for Svelte and has been using it in projects is like Scott Talinsky. That's at least the one that I know of. But like among friends in the industry that actually work with Svelte, on a project? I don't know many, you know?
I mean, I know Remix, I know Vue, but I, you know, Svelte, only, you know, Hello World project.
It is pretty new though, like in compared to Vue and React. Like it's not as,
it's not
that way back that they do.
Right. It's not, but it's not that new, right? Svelte has been around for what, 4-5 years?
The thing is that I hear people using Svelte that they always talk about, like, it's amazing. And everybody that uses React, when you talk about React, you're like, it is what it is.
Yeah. You know, I used React for many years, but I was that excited in the beginning. In the beginning, you know, to start working on React from
Angular, yeah,
moving Angular from was amazing. My mind was blow.
I used to do COBOL. Trust me, I resonate.
Yeah.
So, COBOL.
I'm just interested about like what kind of how low a level of language is COBOL, and like what do you have to kind of tell the electrons where they're going or what?
Yeah.
No, you just need to define your memory in binary. And I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Yes. Cool.
Sounds fun. That's why many people are developing in COBOL today.
The ones that are still alive, you mean?
Yeah.
They're making the big bucks. You better know that for sure. Like systems still being maintained.
Because I know COBOL. That, I know it's a lie. It's a lie, guys.
It's a lie? You're saying they're not making money?
I'm saying that they're not making as much money as people think they are. But I think we're like not talking about the subject of this episode right now.
That's okay. We're always very flexible in Limber about what we talk in our podcast episodes. Like, we have a general sense of it, right? But again, we're not sticklers for rules. Unlike TypeScript.
Want to be the bad guy here, but let's talk about serious stuff. Let's can I right now?
All right, yeah. Go for it.
There's a vocal group of developers who argue that TypeScript adds unnecessary overhead and slows down project velocity. So, what's your response to this criticism?
I think it's kind of the same thing that I said in advance. That when you're And do you want to maybe say the name of the person that you're talking about?
Any.
Okay. See. Anyways.
When you like.
Here, when you're using, when you're doing what's called type gymnastics and when you're trying to overcomplicate TypeScript in many ways and you're abusing it, so it would slow you down. And if you stick to keeping it simple, stupid, and not overcomplicated things, and just like writing interfaces that give you context of your applications, I think it helps a lot, way more than it slows you down. And you can see, like, you can see how much information you get when you add it. Like, there is no way around it. Like, there is more information about your code, period.
Well, say, like, from my experience, like, where I saw, first of all, I think a lot of people have this kind of bad feeling when they come into TypeScript for the first time, right? It looks like something foreign. It looks a little bit like Java. You're like, oh my God, what is this? What do you mean? I need to tell this function what every parameter is going to be. I need to define what's going to be the exact return type, but I don't know what the return type is. I write my function in JavaScript and stuff happened, right? And there is this phase of not understanding like how it works and just fear of it, right? And for me, like my experience when I first started a project with TypeScript or more, we wanted to add TypeScript to one of the projects I was working on a few years back at the startup I was in. And I remember that just trying to write your first kind of lines of code in TypeScript is just daunting. Right, you don't understand. You're trying to figure out. Wait a minute, and if you're in the React world, it's even tougher, right? Because the React typings are not exactly correlating to HTML with the right. You have the fragments and you have how props are built. And if it's a pure component, or back in the day when I was writing it, we were still using class components, was even more difficult to kind of type it out.
Can I mind blow you though?
Go ahead.
That TypeScript developers today, when they have to write pure JavaScript, they are taunted exactly at the same amount.
I'm sure people got used to it, right? But
I'm having juniors sometimes, and like, so juniors obviously a lot of times don't use TypeScript; they still use JavaScript. So every time I find myself helping juniors with job interviews, I feel like a junior myself using JavaScript. I'm like, oh my gosh, where's all the information? Like, it's like half a language.
Right, because you had to have your browser always open when you're working with JavaScript, right? Having the NBN docs just to know, like, what are the methods and stuff. And nowadays, TypeScript helped that. But I feel like I heard this, where was this? It wasn't a different podcast. I think it was on the Ladybug podcast. They had an episode about TypeScript, and there was the best definition about the experience of writing TypeScript there. It was like, writing TypeScript is like Stockholm Syndrome. It basically just grabs you, right? It kidnaps you. You hate it. You're struggling, but then you fall in love with it and you can't do without it.
Yeah, it's true. I think like many other developers, for me, for example, I hated it. I was like, and also, you know, it was in the time that Microsoft was the enemy practically, mm-hmm. and everything that Microsoft put their hand on, it was like hated in the moment. So
it didn't put their hands on it. It was theirs. From the beginning.
Yeah, true. So when, you know, an Angular 2 come and they said we're gonna use TypeScript, and was like, it was a nightmare.
And yeah, by the way,
I
don't know if you guys know
your life without it. It's like really hard for me. It's like super hard without. Yeah. So when people start this conversation, you know, against TypeScript, it's like, what? It's like to being against air. It's like, it's so, in my opinion, it's stupid. It's like, guys, you need to use your time for something else.
Yeah. Like, by the way, what I wanted to say is there is a TypeScript documentary coming out like really soon. I don't know if it's out yet or not, but might be coming out like by the
time.
Who
made it? Like the guy who made the React documentary?
No, I don't think it's Honeypot. I think it's somebody else. I don't recall that, but if we kind of keep the discussion going, maybe I could find it while we talk about something else.
Yeah. So
talk about the elephant in the room, maybe.
You said you didn't want to talk about the elephant in the room, Ariel.
I do want to talk about the elephant in the room. I think it's...
Then let's do it. Let's open it up. Come on. The discussion is time. It's time to bring it up.
We are talking in a very dramatic days. Few days after DHH, the creator of Ruby on Rails and the creator of TurboNow. So he opened a pull request that basically broke the internet, where he dropped TypeScript from the repo and not replacing it with JS docs, but rather just removing TypeScript. And the internet went crazy. Like when you were talking about the Stockholm syndrome, I was having exactly these thoughts in mind. And whether it's malicious tweets on Twitter, influencers that were advocating against this decision, and beyond that, like crazy pull requests to the Turbo repo, whether to remove DHH as a maintainer, a pull request to bring TypeScript back, some crazy things. And it's actually really, really it was really intense days. And yeah,
it's kind of stupid though, right?
I think it's terrible.
No, forget about terrible, but like
the reaction.
Not only the reaction, but the like these pull requests, this stuff. This is one project that is maintained by a company and by this person who's a core maintainer. He made a decision. Like, leave him alone. It was like, I don't know if you saw that meme. There was the meme like when Britney had the thing. So they had the
Yeah. In my opinion, it's exactly that. It's like, I mean, I don't really care. It's like specifically for that project. It's not even if I'm going to use it, it's like it's not going to change my.
No, we are using Turbo.
Yeah, but it's fine. It's not changing how I'm developing in my project. It's like,
It doesn't change how you're consuming it.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I think the only people that could it's okay to give a criticism that actually says something, like saying why you think a decision was wrong, or maybe as a collaborator or someone that contributes frequently. So like it makes sense to say something, but just saying mean stuff on Twitter without like any explanations or saying or giving some intelligent advice on why was it a bad idea.
What do you mean? That's how we roll. That's why Twitter exists.
It doesn't exist anymore. It's
X.
X. X.
I'm sorry, Elon. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, sorry. Twitter? I'm so old. I don't think it's even relevant. And it's not that I'm not going to trust specifically this project. It's not that I'm not going to trust them anymore. Actually, I trust them.
Good, because we use it again.
Yeah.
This is becoming an internal discussion about your developer process.
And I think that the only way to make, like, if you remember, well, you guys do remember, some people.
Oh, what are you hinting at? What are you hinting at?
Yeah, what do you mean?
I'm just,
the no hair in my hand.
Before TypeScript, all of this work was invested in unit testing, that we actually had to test all of these objects and to see that they matched our types. Like, the alternative for TypeScript was heaps of tests. And so as long as they have like proper tests and their development experience is better this way. I took a look at that pull request, and on one hand, I can say that, yeah, I think the code base is not as easy to get to jump into as someone that, like, as a new, as if you want to contribute, it's way more difficult now, mm-hmm. because you have a lot less information. On the other hand, there was a lot of type gymnastics, as DHH called it. Like, they were using TypeScript and really, like, there were a lot of castings and like overcomplicated types. So I would understand why it would hurt their velocity and maybe also like hurt their development experience. So I didn't see that, maybe I missed it. I didn't see like tests that replaced these types, but maybe I need to look again or something, but I didn't.
Maybe see a different that. PR.
Yeah, maybe they are like making them right now. Crazy.
Yeah, everything broke and now they're testing in production, right? Seeing everything break.
Just A/B testing. Let's see what happened.
But I really, one of the things that you said, it's really right. I mean, I remember the time that before TypeScript, we were doing unit testing like crazy. And that was like a religious thing, and with TypeScript we actually started to chillax a little bit with the unit testing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not completely, but it's like it solved a lot of problems,
right?
Yeah.
And always when testing, I always like to quote Mr. Hiromu Rao, who said, "Write tests, mostly integration." Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and as soon as you have types, that makes sense.
Absolutely agree. But don't forget your runtime, guys. Just don't forget your runtime.
Right. So what are your thoughts about runtime validation or type validation in runtime nowadays? I know you mentioned Zod, but there's now, I feel like there's kind of a boom new kind of type validation libraries, right? Runtime validation libraries.
Right, talking about Valibot without saying Valibot.
Talking about Valibot, I'm talking about Vest, I'm talking about Yup, Joy, all the rest that came a few years before.
I'll repeat again, I'm an advocate of what works for you. So as long as you choose the library that gives you the end result of runtime type safety and your team is happy, so whatever works. Like, I don't feel like...
You are like cheering for a defragmentation in the community of tools. Oh my God. I mean, you know, in the open source community, we're going all the time with the, you know, with the coolest kid in the blog. So
I'm front-end developer.
No, there really.
Is
your team is like, is happy with it? Go for it.
Yes, honestly, like as long as you get the final result of like, if you're trying to achieve type safety, you're already writing it with Joy, like you already have Joy from past tests that you have and your team likes working with Joy, use Joy, that's fine. Like I personally prefer Zod, like, but I know that's only my personal opinion. I don't feel like a specific library.
I'm with you. It always depends on the use case and all. And in the end of the day, whatever works for you, your users don't give a shit if you use TypeScript or you use Zod or whatever. They just want a working product, right?
Yeah.
That's always kind of the conclusion.
Yep. And yeah, I think that TypeScript is... I think the future of TypeScript, like, is not really... I don't think TSC is the future of TypeScript as well.
I said that years ago. And
that TSC wouldn't... Yeah, because I feel like in the web industry, like, the same circle always happens. That, like, Java, like, there's a new ECMAScript, JavaScript gets better, and then we write a lot of JavaScript, and then at some point we're like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have written that many JavaScripts. So this is the same thing with TypeScript. Like, on one hand, some of the listeners don't know this, TypeScript is bootstrapped, which means TypeScript is written in TypeScript. So this was a very intelligent decision in the product way, because the TypeScript developers could actually understand what is the developer experience when developing with TypeScript. But performance-wise, this was not the best decision, because a lot of things could be said about JavaScript, but it is not the most performant language. So this is the reason why when working with TSC, with a TypeScript compiler, with big code bases, even saving locally could get up to 20 seconds, and I'm not gonna even start about a whole build of the application. So this is the problem that is basically rising in the last few years after 10 years of TypeScript in the industry. And there are a few like different solutions for this one, whether it's really using JS docs. However, JS docs, like the experience with the JS docs is also amazing. Like, I can't even see my whole code at once. Like, it's so full of comments, it's hard to get a full picture of it. And there's, of course, the other direction that where things are going, which is SWC. And hopefully one day SDC, but I don't really know if that will happen.
What is the, just for our listeners and for me, I don't know the last one you mentioned. Could you elaborate? Yeah.
Okay. So even for the listeners, SWC is Speedy Web Compiler, and it is a transpiler for TypeScript to JavaScript, basically doing what TSC does. So it turns TypeScript files into JavaScript, but it is written in Rust, which means that this whole process could be happening in parallel. Like, we could be splitting this process into threads and doing things at once, which actually makes sense, because this is not code that really needs to be run. Like, it could be executed simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. And Next.js uses SWC. They moved to SWC, yeah. Right?
SWC is basically like this guy, DRG. I can't pronounce his name on GitHub. I'm really sorry. But the guy that developed it was doing it alone for a while. He was having a very, very hard time, and he was stating it in a lot of cases that how hard it was developing SWC as an open source, until eventually Vercel saw the potential and backed him up, and they became the sponsors of SWC, which is now integrated into Next and in a lot of projects. And the problem, it's not a problem, but SWC is turning TypeScript into JavaScript, but it is not type checking. And that is SDC. So the same guy that created SWC is also currently working on SDC, which is Speedy Type Checker, that is also like type checking in Rust. And that is very, very complicated, because you need to understand it's like not only, it's also like you need to answer all of the demands that the TypeScript type checker is answering at the moment, and includes type inference, which is a very big work. And taking into account how bad was his experience developing SWC, it's hard to tell what is the future of SDC. But I look at it every once in a while, and I see that he is still, there are still commits there. So I really hope that it will go somewhere, because I think that would be the real game changer.
So what do you see in 5 years for TypeScript?
I think we will see. I don't think we would see as much of TSC as we would. I think that the syntax of TypeScript, and we can't ignore the amount of TypeScript that we have in the industry right now. Yeah, I think we almost have the same TypeScript as much as we have JavaScript, and JavaScript existed for longer.
Yeah, it's because you have to write a lot more in TypeScript.
And also, we're writing even more. We're duplicating the code.
It all really depends if the proposal for DC39 would be accepted. Like, if we would actually have type annotations in JavaScript, I think that would be a game changer. It's very hard to tell, but I'm sure TSC is not going to be default, and in that I'm sure of.
What about different runtimes now? Like, the new Dino can run TypeScript out of the box. Bun can, I don't know if it can run TypeScript out of the box. I think so, but I know like Dino can. What do you know what the underlying tools there are? Is that also SWC and the Speedy Type Checker, or do they have a different implementation?
If Dino is using SWC if they're doing type checking, so no way it's done with SWC, because it doesn't type check. I actually don't know what's the internal implementation of Dino. You actually made me curious to go and check it out.
I gave Ariel something she doesn't know about TypeScript.
Yes.
I'm a front-end developer.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to ask you something else.
Let me remark for what you just said. There is no such thing as a front-end developer anymore.
You're correct, actually.
Yeah.
That's just a teaser for my upcoming
client, okay?
Yeah, I don't believe in that either. I'm saying that is a teaser for an upcoming talk I'm giving at Armada.js. So I'm done.
But regarding the front-end developer?
Yes.
I really.
There's no such thing.
Really?
Maybe.
Well, there. I'm sorry. Maybe I threw you off. Maybe in Fiverr.
Maybe.
So what I wanted to ask you, I think, and maybe, it's regarding who is behind TypeScript. Do you think that there are like ethical considerations regarding TypeScript because Microsoft runs behind?
I feel like there is no way to escape this circle of evil. Like, there is no way to keep maintaining a library in an industry demand without a corporate backing you up. And we've seen this happen with a lot of open sources. Like, I feel like it's the same circle all of the time, that when an open source reaches some point of success, it is really common for the big fish to get it and to back it up. And eventually, we can say that we're not enjoying that our libraries are maintained by big corporates with a lot of money like Microsoft, rather than a guy in his basement with his 16th cup of coffee. So, you know,
actually, it's not really true. For example, tell me a library that it's like, you know, community driven, that it's really used today, that it's winning.
That doesn't have backing.
Big corporation.
That doesn't have a corporate behind it?
Yeah.
PNPM.
PNPM. It's a, well.
What about Node?
Node. But Node, they do have backup by Google.
They have sponsorships, but
yeah,
it's
big. Like, I think they're...
But the maintainers are not like working for a company that backs them up. They get sponsored by it. That is one of the things, and one of the criticisms that just came up, like with the Bun release, is that, oh, Bun is so much faster than Node, and Node hasn't done anything to improve performance AD, which is not true. They just don't advertise it as well because they don't have the funds or people to kind of do it.
Right? And Bun, they have?
Bun got VC funding. They're a small team. But they did get the VC funding that allowed them to make bigger splashes in terms of Twitter, in terms of, like, I don't know.
They're
if you
smaller
saw
than Node.
They are, mean, of course they're smaller. Are like, they're five or six people. I don't know how many people there. They're a very small team. However, they did put out and made quite a splash with their launch. I don't know if you saw the video, but it got like 500,000 views in 2 days.
Yeah, I've been hearing about it nonstop.
Yeah. Speaking about PNPM, whoa, man, we use it, we change it in our platform, and the performance, it's amazing.
Yes. Because it's no longer downloading all of your Node modules every time you install every other, like, repo.
I love it. It's like I'm feeling exactly what I felt with Yarn in the beginning, and was like, yeah. It's like,
yeah.
And now we buried Yarn the snail.
No, yeah. Yarn who now, right?
Yeah. And I loved it.
We're so finicky as developers. Like, we will take like the easiest thing. Like, we'll change. We have no like affiliation to anything. We don't care about technology. What we'll just, if there's a new shiny thing that is going to make our life easier.
We should, but you know, you and me, we're talking about this all the time. We're like giving shit all the time about stuff, you know, like that. What is this new thing? It's like we're hating it, and then it's like,
And then you see one influencer that says it's good, and you're like, if he says so.
Yeah, if I like him. Yeah, or
yes.
It's really funny how people outside the web community, if look at us, like they really laugh at how we are just trend chasing constantly. And yeah, I think that in the industry level, there are also many mistakes done because we are so, we are rushing into a lot of trends,
right?
That may, sometimes
True.
We should.
But
True.
That's not just the web, it's the tech industry in general, right? Yeah. It's like, although tech comes out, new stuff that is like breaking boundaries and making everything, like the world as we know it, change, but then regulation never catches up to it. So we see this in terms of social media. We see this now with AI, right? Like, nobody is being in front enough to kind of see or foresee things coming. And the tech keeps on innovating, and there's always something new and shiny that people want to use.
You're looking for stuff all the time, Ariel, or like new tools?
I think it really depends. Like, I feel on some, I am really, on some things, I'm really much of a conservative. But on the other hand, when I do have, like, the same that you said before, like you hate it first. So, and I feel like in a lot of cases, I hate stuff first, and only like after seeing, I basically need to see one proof in scale. I need scale to make me have confidence. Now, I just realized that about myself saying it out loud. Like when I see, like, for example, I remember with Next.js that a lot of people were advocating into getting it into Next.js. And I only had experience with the Pages router from like 2 years ago. And I was not really feeling confident enough to like change to Next.js. But like researching into it and seeing that like massive websites such as like TikTok use Next.js, those are the things that made me feel comfortable to change our production too. Like you want to see someone else that's paid before you take the risk, right?
True. You are with an advocate for Next like from the beginning. Like really, I remember.
Version two.
Really early in the game. I was like, Next what? And he was like totally in like going to everywhere. I don't know. You was like really into it. Like, whoa, I need to check this.
Wasn't that the case also?
Freelancer, but it was mainly like working for with static websites and stuff. So the Pages router has its problems for scale. Like it's still better than React, like only React, I guess. But I do think that router is the game changer, which really makes it like fittable for scale, and it would even like, I think, force you into having a good architecture because of the code splitting that it enforces.
Well, that's let's not go into that because again,
I don't think even, so.
Yeah,
they did just, a lot of. We're opening a can of worms. Wait a minute.
Okay.
We're opening up a can of worms.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's start to talk about Webpack, please.
don't get us started. No. Not right now. Yeah, not exactly the time to start talking about Webpack.
I'm talking about next month, so we're gonna chat there.
Mm-hmm. In the meetup, we can talk about Next. Yeah, but now we are still talking about time. Okay. So, is there anything else that comes to mind, Leo, that you wanted to ask Ariel that we haven't yet?
We ask about how Ariel handled third-party libraries that don't have type definitions.
We did not. What's your take on that?
I wouldn't. I think that's like one of my criteria. I want libraries to have a good to actually have good types. Like that's one of my criteria when choosing a library. If a library doesn't have, for me, types are sort of a documentation. They're code documentation. So when libraries don't have types, I'm not gonna patch their work, like, because in our industry today, for every library, there's 200 more of the same libraries. So I've yet to find a situation where I had only one library to answer my demand that did not have types. Like, honestly, not.
So we're ditching Turbo Repo? We're ditching Turbo Repo?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Save the HH.
I don't think he needs saving. I think he's fine. Think
that Vercel is going to own everything there is
in the web industry?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy who invented the Svelte working there, the React
guy invented
working for them,
Webpack.
Webpack, yeah, the guy for Turbo Repo. Come on.
Turbo Repo, yeah. Shantian, even UI libraries now they're buying.
Yeah, it feels like Microsoft, you know, like a couple of years ago, that they were like all in with open source.
I don't know, but you got to remember, Vercel in the end are still a startup. They're still backed by VC. They still need to prove to their investors.
That's my fear, exactly.
Yeah, this is, I understand your fear, and I'm with that. I don't know what they're going to do. I hope, and I'm rooting for them to succeed because they're really holding a lot of the like core libraries and tools of the industry, right, under their umbrella.
Yeah,
it's actually insane.
I'm gonna call it right now. I'm gonna say, or Microsoft or Meta are going to acquire them. To acquire them. I got the feeling.
How much money?
And Meta, they're like really invested. Meta is really invested. They're practically the same company. And regarding, you know, core team. But yeah, I feel like or Microsoft or Meta are going to.
I feel like at this point, Vercel is going to buy Meta.
Maybe Vercel are going to buy TypeScript.
they kind of did buy SWC, so I think they're aiming at something.
Did you know that Matt Pocock used to work for Vercel?
Nothing would surprise me anymore about Vercel.
He used to, but then he went full on like to be a TypeScript educator.
That's interesting. I did not know that. Matt Pocock is one of the best content makers of TypeScript. Like, I enjoy his stuff so much. I do think it would help him a lot if he talked a tiny bit slower. If you take into account the fact that 95% of the world, English is not their first language, so there is quite a big market of people that would enjoy slower content.
Yeah, but he talks like that. It's like really difficult for, I mean, and also you can, you know, you can slow it down.
Yeah, you have the gearbox and the YouTube.
Yeah. And so, really?
I know, I believe people do slow him down.
For sure.
But, I really enjoy reading his blogs. I follow him constantly.
Who else do you follow in the TypeScript space?
I don't think there is. And for me, it's everything here is personal. For me, nobody matches Matt. Like, there is no content that I've seen someone else post that Matt did not. Yeah, so I follow him constantly. But also I think that, as I said at the beginning of this conversation, that TypeScript is also getting a bit overcomplicated. And I see me, like, in favor of my team, not taking advantage of a lot of TypeScript's newer features, because For in favor of readability and simplicity, I actually try to use like the more, like, let's say, simple features of TypeScript. I don't think we need a lot more than like types, interfaces, and like a bit of utility types. But I really try to keep it simple, stupid, because again, for me, types are also documentation beyond the test.
I completely agree.
Yeah, completely agree. Lucky we're on the same team.
Like, we're always on the same team.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. So, maybe it's time that we wrap it up. We're coming up in an hour. So, is there anything else you want to tell our listeners, Ariel? How can they follow you or, you know, catch stuff you've been doing? Any place you want them to follow you?
I'm a bit of an old lady, so I don't have Twitter, even though Leo is constantly trying to make me open. I see him nodding. So, yeah, for now, I exist only on LinkedIn. I'm so old, I don't even have Instagram, like, just that old. So, for now, only on LinkedIn, Ariel Schulman. There is quite a few lectures of mine on YouTube. And...
Guys, one of the best speakers in the planet. Please,
we will add some of your talks in the show notes, obviously, and a link to your LinkedIn. And
thank you.
Yeah, and I think that's about it. Thank you for coming on, Ariel. It was really fun having you.
Thank you, guys. It was super fun. And I really enjoy FedBytes in general. Listen to you a lot.
Oh, that's great. So happy to hear that. So, yeah. Till the next time, folks. Keep it cool. Keep your type safe. And keep your bugs low.
Bye.
See you next time.